time for In and Around the House with Tony Wirtz and Ernie Brown. Got a question? Call us at 749-B105. Now, let's join Tony Wirtz and Ernie Brown for In and Around the House.
Good morning. Welcome to In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Breaking news. It's not raining, Tony.
I hear you. Good morning, by the way, Ernie. I love it.
Good morning. That was probably the best news I could have given you, and it's not going to rain today. It's not going to rain tomorrow. It's not going to rain on Monday. We'll be knee-deep in grass and have to cut it on Tuesday, but, hey, it's not raining.
No.
Isn't that nice?
It's awesome. It really is. About time. Mm. And this is why we wait till Mother's Day, which is Sunday, the big day.
Yes.
And everybody's getting geared up for it. But this is why we say it all the time. You know, Mother's Day is kind of the pinnacle. It's the date that we always say, hey, it's safe to plant annuals.
Yeah, because just last week we had the threat of a frost because of the clear skies and cold temperatures.
We certainly did. And as a matter of fact, where I live, we had a little bit of a light frost.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's just one of those things. You know, we say it all the time. Sometimes you get the bear. Or the bear gets you when you try to push things a little early.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, as damp as it's been and as cool as it's been, it's not always the ideal situation to put our plants in.
Exactly.
So lots of things happen when it's wet and damp like it has been. But hey, you know what? The forecast looks awesome. You can't ask for anything better. It's a wonderful weekend ahead of us.
Mm-hmm.
Monday and Tuesday is really looking stellar. Temperatures are starting to move back upward. Hopefully things dry out.
Yep.
And we can all do our thing.
Plant
and get dirty.
And we are going to spend a little time today giving you some last minute gift ideas. If you haven't already gotten your mother a gift for Mother's Day tomorrow, you still have plenty of time to get to your locally owned, independently operated garden center and pick up a few gifts. We'll talk about a few of those today. But I also want to remind you that if you live over close to Villa Hills, today is the Villa Hills Garden Center's annual plant sale, and that's to benefit their club to help beautify the city of Villa Hills. It's a great nonprofit organization which spends a lot of time beautifying, and there's some great volunteers out there, so make sure you stop by and say hi.
Always a good thing. You know, there's a lot of municipalities that have community groups of people that get together, and they all take care of the containers within their neighborhoods and so forth, and other planting sites. And be thankful that you have a group of people that want to come together collectively to do those kind of things and beautify the neighborhood. There's nothing wrong with that, and I wish more people would do that. Participate.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me a little bit about the seed swap show we did the other day with Vicky.
Right, Vicky Tuis.
Yep, and the guests that were in town for that. Building communities, always a great idea.
Nothing wrong with it, and that's what's important. It's like, was it last year that somebody vandalized all the trees in Covington?
Mm-hmm.
And that was a perfect testimonial how everybody came together to remove the trees that were damaged and replace them rather quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And without that community effort, things like that would just go undone.
Sure. We do have something we want to pass along to you, one of those save the dates, and you'll want to circle on your calendar. Sunday, June the 4th, it's B105's world's largest garage sale. It's once again going to be happening at Turfway Park from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Sunday, June the 4th. You can purchase your spot now at B105.com. Special thanks to Ohio Mulch and LKQ Pick Your Parts. And we'll be looking for you. Maybe we ought to get a booth. Oh, I hope my wife's not up yet because she'll say, great, back the truck down. We're going to load some of this stuff out of the garage.
You know what? I have a lot of stuff that I would like to sell. Mm-hmm. I don't want to haul out to Turfway. So where it is, Turfway?
Yeah.
These items because they're quite heavy. But, you know, Ernie, are you in that situation where there's some tools or items you don't use and they sit around and you think you might get to those someday or some point in time?
Well, we joke about this quite a bit, but it is true for me. I seem to save things and forget why I kept them. And I have a lot of those, and I'll come across them again and go, I wonder what I was going to do with this, or why did I keep this? Or my favorite is, I wonder what this goes to.
Well, I was just thinking the other day, and it's funny you brought up that yard sale or that garage sale, that in my basement, you know, I'm sitting on a really, really nice table saw. You know, I installed the dust collection bag with it. I the wheels are on the stand. Mm-hmm. Easy, you know, it's easy to move it around. But I never use it anymore. Oh. We did. I used it pretty much when we did our renovation downstairs a couple years ago. But it's been sitting since.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why do we? You know, I don't know. Yeah. I have an awesome bandsaw, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, scroll saw, just things I'm sitting on. You know, something else I have down in the shed, I've not done this in a long, long, long time. I have a leaf shredder, you know, chipper
oh,
shredder.
Really?
Yeah, and it's like, you know, what am I going to do with this?
Sure.
I don't want to do all that stuff anymore.
I'd rather be playing golf.
I do, but I don't.
Yeah.
You know, it's
yeah.
just, gosh, I have so many interests, but I never can hone in on specific things.
That makes me laugh because I can remember when I was a young new homeowner, I thought, oh, a wonderful yard. I can't wait to get out here and do some yard work.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm a much older homeowner, and I look at it and go, yeah, daggone, I got to go cut the grass. You know, it was okay when Travis was at the house and
right.
Son, that grass needs to be cut. You better get out there. But now he's got his own family, and I got to cut the grass. Happy homeowner, my big bucket.
You know, I'm with you. Just the other day, you know, we've had quite a bit of rain. And when I hear the water kind of go over, and, you know, we have a bay window
uh-huh.
at our home, and it has a copper roof, which doesn't have a gutter on the copper roof. But I can hear the water come over and hit the copper roof.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I know those gutters are stopped up.
Oh.
So now I have to get up there and work on it. And which leads me to another topic that I want to touch base on, too, when we come back out of a break here momentarily. But, you know, when you have standing water, that leads to some issues. But I could see, you know, a couple of limbs up there, small limbs,
mm-hmm.
you know,
little
kind of
ticks and sweet.
You know,
twigs
and the catkins, you know, the stuff that's all blown up into my gutters from my birch tree, my river birch tree,
mm-hmm.
which I love that tree, but sometimes it's like, oh, buddy,
yeah,
just come on, just one year.
Don't do it one year.
Yeah.
Give me a break.
Yeah, just for just one year, will you just kind of like think about me a little bit and
yeah.
just cool it with everything that you drop.
Yeah, we've lost a couple of trees over the years, but we still have a gigantic old maple that is standing strong. And even when that really strong wind was coming through last week during the storm,
mm-hmm.
It stood strong. Had a couple of little branches come down, and that was really it. So, you know, we're pretty fortunate there.
Yeah, that's kind of Mother's way or Mother Nature's way of kind of like doing a little self-pruning.
Yeah.
You know, when those trees do that and it happens and you have debris everywhere and you just have to go out there and make it happen mm-hmm. and pick it all up. So I've been fortunate with that for the
sure.
most part. You know, I've had some tree issues down in the back of my yard in the past several years, you know, where I've lost a buckeye, you know, of all things.
Mm.
And even a hickory, you know. And in our lots, it's pretty wooded for the most part, but you know, when you lose a tree like that, you just shake your head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you do?
749-B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys, when we come back.
And we were talking a little bit about how much rain we've had here recently. There's some things you need to kind of be aware of because this season is just right upon us.
Mm-hmm.
Give us a call at 749-B105. We'll be right back.
Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Mother's Day is tomorrow, and if nothing else, give your mom some of your time. You know, it just is one of those things that you just can't, it never returns, so we have to spend it wisely.
That's right. And
it's my tip of the day.
It's a great tip, Ernie, by the way. We say it often, and mm-hmm. we've said it before in the past many, many times. If I could just spend one more day with my mom.
Yep.
You know, or it's just one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And she left at an early, young age.
Mm-hmm.
But and you never know when your day comes up. But moms are special, that's for sure. So don't forget mom tomorrow. Before we went into the break, we were talking about some of the wet weather that we've had. And we were just momentarily mentioning, you know, I was telling you about my gutters. And,
sure.
you know, when your gutters are clogged up or things like that, there's places that hold water. those are breeding havens for mosquitoes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and we all think about mosquitoes and the, you know, the Zika virus and all that other good stuff. It's not really good. But these are things we... we need
malaria.
All
that good stuff.
Hey, yeah, I'll take a little malaria. little Zika. A little shot of Zika. No, these are serious things. You know, mosquitoes, they vector a lot of, diseases and certain things like that. So beware. You know, there's some things that you can do when you go outside, you know, especially in the evening hours. You know, if you're, try and wear long sleeve clothes sometimes, you can use some of the mosquito repellents. But with this wet weather, I kind of anticipate we might see a lot of mosquito activity, so beware. And there's some things that you can do to combat these guys. And we talk about 38-plus from high yield often.
Mm-hmm.
That is a great insecticide to use that you can spray in your yard, outside in the yard. Never use it inside, but it's very, very effective with mosquitoes. Also, you can use mosquito beater. That's from Bonide. So there's a number of things that you can do to combat these guys. And from a plant standpoint, you know, a lot of people will come into the garden center and they'll ask for lemongrass. They'll plant up some containers or different things on the patio or the deck or the front porch using lemongrass, or they'll use some of the scented geraniums, citronelle.
Mm-hmm.
And these are plants that will give that natural odor out and repel mosquitoes. They say it's very effective. It was a couple of years ago that we had this major run on lemongrass.
Okay.
And it's got that, when you rub it, you know, and you kind of break the oils, it has that lemony kind of citronella scent.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, we're like selling out of lemongrass. And you get it back in, and you sell out of it right away. And I'm like, what's going on? So anytime that somebody publishes something in a magazine like Southern Living or what have you, you'll see these runs.
Sure.
On some of these various products. But those are some things that you can do to combat mosquitoes. I kind of think, you know, with all the moisture, and like you, Ernie, you need to get rid of some of those old tires around the house. You know, those hold water. not a good thing. And, you know, this also comes into play with if you have fountains.
Mm-hmm.
If you have bird baths, you have ponds, you know, there are various things that you can purchase, you know, at your local garden centers and nurseries. Mosquito bits, those are like small granules that you can use that you can place in your pond. Very, very effective on mosquito larvae.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the mosquito dunks, those are really good to put into your fountains and bird baths, and they don't harm, you know, the birds. So just beware of those kind of things.
Sure. Sure. And it's a couple of great ideas for you for Mother's Day. When you go over, check mom's property out. Help her out. Make sure there aren't any of those mosquito breeding grounds around. And
right.
Tidy up just a bit of it. And Tony mentioned about the gutters. You know, get to mom's house early. Get the ladder out. Make sure her gutters are empty and cleaned and ready to go. And just spend a little time with mom.
For sure. And, you know, if you're looking for some plants to help her out with, if she does have a mosquito issue sometimes, you know, my dad does. If I'm over at his house and sitting on the front porch during the summer months, it's horrendous. Really, you have to just go inside. It's that bad. But, you know, and he's, he doesn't have, when it comes to patients, it's pretty thin sometimes.
Mm.
Oh, he gets aggravated.
Does he?
But you have to go inside. It can be that bad.
Wow.
But, you know, if you're at the local garden center or nursery, look for, like, the citronella-scented geraniums. Lavender also is really good. Lemon balm. I was just mentioning lemongrass, you know, as I'm thinking of these various plants. Marigolds. Also, another plant that I've heard that is somewhat effective with, you know, as a mosquito repellent, is Plectranthus. It's Mona Lavender. Or also the, I tell you something, I don't know if it is a mosquito repellent, but it can be quite foul, the smell, the fragrance of it. It's a vining kind of trailing plant called Iboza.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with that by chance?
No, and I'm not sure I want to be if it's got a foul
well,
smell.
It really has beautiful foliage. It's a great performer in the heat. It's wonderful with hanging baskets. Mm-hmm. or large containers. It gives you that draping element.
Oh, I got yeah.
It really does, but it's called Iboza. And again, the rose-scented geraniums and rosemary, I understand, too, is somewhat effective. So those are things that you can pick up at the local garden centers and nurseries if, you know, you might think that you could have a mosquito issue this summer.
And it's a perfect day to do that. The weather's going to be beautiful, and you have plenty of time to get to your locally owned, independently operated florist or garden center. Shop local. 67 cents of every dollar stays in the local economy when you buy from a local establishment. And you can always be assured that you're going to get the best information and the best advice from somebody who lives in the same area. Just makes common sense.
That it does.
You know.
You know, also, while we're talking about wet weather, I've seen a lot of issues with plants and this dampness and the overcast scenarios and situations that we've had. You know, there's some issues with plants that they're starting to struggle. You know, when we talk about putting out annuals a little too early, this can happen really quick. It can happen overnight. You know, you take periwinkle, vinca, for example. Those type of plants that love the sun and like the little, you know, some dryness that can tolerate drought, as wet as it's been, they go south lickety-split. They really do. But also, you know, what I want to hone in on, we're going to take another quick break here. Is that right? Are we good? And I want to tell you about some other diseases I'm seeing happening in shrubs and some things that you can do to help prevent that. When we come back, give us a call at 749-B105. If anything's bothering you because of this dampness, share it with us. See what's going on and see if we can be of some help. We'll be right back.
Good morning. Welcome to In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guy. It's going to be a gorgeous day today, tomorrow, Monday. We are without rain, but the rain has indeed caused some issues and could be some diseases creeping into your landscape or your yard because of it.
Oh, most definitely. And a lot of times when you see diseases, they're there, they're present. Try and remove anything that drops off of your shrub or your plant. You don't want that lying around underneath the plant or around some of the other plants that you have, just hoping not to spread anything. I'm seeing a lot of powdery mildew on some rose bushes.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why that we say all the time when you plant rose bushes, you know, when you get into these damp situations and so forth, like what we've been experiencing, you know, make sure that when you plant your rose bushes that you're cutting them back every year, okay? That keeps them nice. It keeps them vigorous. It keeps them healthy. They're well-behaved, so to speak.
Well-behaved.
Providing that air movement, putting them in areas where there's plenty of air circulation, that is so important.
Yeah, agreed.
And trying to combat some of these issues, you know, there are some products out there that are available at your local garden centers and nurseries that you can use. It's not going to stop or make what, well, it slows things down, but it also, it's not going to make what looks bad better.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Unfortunately, but mancozeb, that's a great fungicide to use. And, you can pick that up at your local garden centers and nurseries. Also copper fungicide. That's another great, you know, fungicide to use. Chlorothalonil is another great fungicide, which also goes under the trade name or name of Dacanil. So any one of these three products are excellent to use on any of your shrubs that you might be experiencing some issues with from a disease standpoint. Like I said, rose bushes now, I'm starting to really see it. You know, it's happening. It's because of the weather.
Mm-hmm.
It's environmental. 90% of the time, it's environmental. It really is. Also, we had someone that had sent us some photographs to our Facebook page showing us her lilac. You know, there was one side of that lilac that was, there were some serious issues going on with it. Excuse me. So, you know, that could be verticillium type of wilt. It could be some sort of an anthracnose. I know it's not a blight at this point in time. However, there are things that we can use, these sprays, to really keep this stuff at bay. And trying to use these products prior to the problem, taking that proactive approach, is the best approach. So there are things that we can do as homeowners to keep our plants looking really nice and healthy. And a lot of times it's difficult. And think about it. When your plants are infected with diseases and so forth, every time it rains, that water just goes right over the leaf surface and spreads it down to the other lower leaves, mm-hmm. wherever, whatever's close to it, or whatever's underneath it. So again, you know, if you're battling this with your rose bushes or some of those products out there, the 3-in-1s, you know, like I said, the Mancozeb, copper fungicide, chlorothalonil, also Daconil, those are really excellent products to use if you ever find yourself in a situation where you're fighting, you know, disease issues with your shrubs and so forth.
That's important.
Yes, and yeah, last week, we also, speaking of diseases, I still think we're early enough in the game to take care of some blue spruce issues. I was talking about a couple of diseases last week, and I want to reiterate it as well, is Rhizospira. That is a needle cast disease that, you know, some of our blue spruces are prone to this particular disease. And all of a sudden, you know, you'll get this needle drop. Again, you know, the chlorothalonil is the spray to go to for that. And now's a great time to do it. And also, now's this weekend is perfect because our temperatures are in the 70s.
Oh, yes.
You know, so it's great for spraying. It's not too hot. And also, Diplodia tip blight will get into some of your blue spruces, especially your globosus. Either if it's a high graft or a low graft, that you'll get that tip blight, and it looks like it turns a real light tan color. That's an indicator. And if you're not really sure, and just as I explained to our Facebook friend that had sent us some photographs of her lilac, go to your extension offices with samples. If they cannot identify it, you know, from what they can see, they can always send it off to the universities and get a report back so you know what measures to take. Do that first before you go hog wild or jump in with both feet and spend money on products that aren't necessary, or you're buying the wrong product and you need to be buying something else.
Love that.
You like that idea?
I do.
It really.
Because yeah, there's nothing worse than investing a lot of money and a lot of time in our plants and then have a little disease creep in there and it can wipe it out quickly and then you're back to square one. You have a little, if you're armed with the proper information,
big
you
time.
Can defend it.
Big time. And, you know, there's something else I want to talk to you as we're talking about rose bushes. I also want to bring up another issue that's really been plaguing rose bushes when we come back out of the break. And it's something that if you've yet to do it, you still have plenty of time to do it, and you might have to cut back your rose bushes before so. Give us a call at 749-B105, and we'll be right back.
Welcome back in and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And Mother's Day is tomorrow. Don't forget mom. Most important thing you can do is spend time with her. Doesn't necessarily have to be a gift. Doesn't necessarily have to be extravagant. And time is fleeting, so spend it wisely.
Nope, I agree with you, Ernie. And what we'll do, we're going to talk about some awesome Mother's Day gift ideas at the top of the hour.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of things that you can buy mom. There's a lot of things that you can pick up at your local garden centers and nurseries that, you know, will make mom happy this Mother's Day, which is tomorrow. So don't forget her. Mm-hmm. Get out there today. Get it done. Get into the mad rush because it's going to be fun. It's going to be crazy today. And this is what all of us who have garden centers and nurseries, this is what we work for. This is what it's all about, you know, the month of May. And it's really, really been slow for all of us, and it's because of the weather. And right now, I am jacked up. I'm excited because the next 4 days are going to be flawless.
Mm-hmm.
And mixed in within the next 4 days is mom's big day. So be sure to hang out with us here at the top of the hour because I'm going to get into some really great gift ideas that you can get mom at your local garden centers and nurseries. And you better take heed to it. That's all I can say. And if it is a plant, Ernie always likes to say, don't just drop it off and give it to her.
That's exactly
right. Help her
right.
plant it.
Mm-hmm.
So before we went into the break, we were talking about some various things that's kind of been occurring as a result of what we've been experiencing with the weather. You know, it's been wet, it's been damp, it's been cool, it's been overcast, it's been all of those things, you know, and those kind of situations lead into other things that plague us around the landscape, you know, and we were talking about mosquitoes, you know, how to combat those guys. We're talking about some of the disease issues that we're starting to see on some rose bushes and some of our lilacs and other plants. Now, you know, we were talking about roses a moment ago, and we were talking about some of the powdery mildew and so forth. Also, what's plaguing roses in addition to that is still, I'm seeing a lot of rose slug activity already. And this can really just decimate and just make your roses look so ugly and gnarly that when people come over and they see those all chewed up roses in your garden or landscape, it's like, is that plant okay?
Yeah.
You know, there's some things that you can do, and you might have to cut back your rose bushes one more time and apply the systemic drench from Fertilum. It's for trees and shrubs. It works so well, and it gives you 1 year protection. You can't beat that. You can't ask for any more. Mm. It's so effective. The Fertilum tree and shrub systemic insecticidal drench is so effective on your rose bushes. And it's not just for rose bushes. You can use it on other shrubs as well. We say this all the time. You can use it on your azaleas. You can use it on your boxwoods. You can use it on anything that's giving you issues, you know, from an insect standpoint. If something's feeding on your plants, this is a great product. The only thing that the tree and shrub drench is not effective for is spider mites.
How do you do that? How do you combat that?
I like spider mites. There's a couple of things you can do. Keep that in mind because we're going to come back to that. But also you can use Fertilum's rose and flower food with systemic insecticide. You'll have to apply it a little more often, and that's because you're getting two things here in this particular product. You're getting the systemic element that you would get in the drench. Okay, so therefore mm-hmm. you need to overlap it, but you're also getting the fertilization part of it as well. So those two things combined, you know, is going to be so effective for getting rid of any of your issues with rose slug on your rose bushes. And there's more than one generation that occurs with the rose slug family. They have several.
Really?
So it just doesn't stop now. It continues.
Now, does that treatment affect all of them, or do you have to have specific treatments?
Oh, no, it takes care of all the rose slugs. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of different varieties of rose slugs. It's actually a sawfly, and when she lays her eggs, you know, the larvae just have at it. It's a big party.
Sure.
It's amazing. It's really amazing how quickly they can just chew into a rose bush, and, you know, and if you want to check it out, if you go out to our Facebook page, it was about a week ago that I had posted a photograph of just that. That was just the other day. And, you know, you can see, you really have to look for these guys underneath the leaf.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you just flip it over, and I mean, they're camouflage. They are the same color as the leaf. That's what makes them difficult to spot.
Sure. Is there a point of no return when you notice the rose slugs? If you don't treat them at a certain point, do you just give up, or can you battle it all the way to the end?
There's a couple of things that you can do, you know, from a cultural standpoint, and you first have to prune back your rose bushes.
Okay.
And don't be afraid to do it. They'll respond favorably. Okay. Now, if you have, you know, with the exception of your climbers, I would not recommend you pruning those back because, you know, it takes a number of years for those to get to the height that you're enjoying and what you're typically seeing them at. And when they're in bloom, they're gorgeous. So you don't want to cut back your climbers.
Okay.
It's just your shrub roses, your hybrid teas. It's some of those that, you know, they're going to look unsightly. You know, leave a little bit of foliage on them because we need that photosynthesis to take place. That's what's really, really, really important. But that's been battling a lot of people, rose slug damage. And again, it's not just for roses. The product we're talking about from Fertilum, the tree and shrub, systemic drench, you know, it's great for other things.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We need to pause for a moment. When we come back,
we're going to talk. We'll probably, let's just go ahead and get into the Mother's Day gift ideas a little earlier than what okay. I was saying at the top of the hour. How about that?
I like that.
I hear you. 749-B105, give us a call.
Welcome back into Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. It's Mother's Day Eve, and we want to remind you, you still have plenty of time to get to your locally owned, independently operated florist or garden center and pick up some great gift ideas. And Tony's got a few for you.
Oh, do I? I have a lot.
You're the idea man.
Yes, especially from the garden center. I'm going to tell you how to put the biggest smile on your mom's face.
Lay it on me,
okay? And I always think about this particular shrub, this particular plant, because of my mom.
Mm-hmm.
Hydrangeas. Moms love hydrangeas. Mm-hmm. And there are so many to choose from, Ernie. It's incredible. I mean, you can go from A to Z. I'm going to talk about a couple of the hydrangeas here in a bit, but hydrangeas are a hit. Moms love hydrangeas, and I'm going to miss a few. There's just so many now they're evolving every year, you know, with different varieties, bigger and better blooms, different color blooms. You can just take it from A to Z. Hydrangeas. Moms love hydrangeas. Let's Dance.
No.
You like that one?
Let's start with A.
Let's start with A.
Yeah.
Okay, Annabelle, but it's an arborescence type of hydrangea.
Uh-huh.
A little different. Big bloom heads on it. And there's another one that's just like Annabelle that is called Incredible. That's on steroids. I mean, it's got a huge bloom on it. So that's just one of those that just to name many, many, since you gave me starting with A.
Yeah.
With B, Bloomstruck.
Bloomstruck.
Bloomstruck. That's in the Endless Summer series. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful hydrangea.
What color is that?
It could be blue or it could be pink.
Wow.
So it all depends on the pH level of the soil, which we can get more in depth into here in a little bit.
Okay.
But, the more alkaline the soil, you know, your pH level, it's in a range, and 7's neutral. When you get up above there, you know, you typically see them on the pinkish side.
Okay.
When you lower it, you want to lower it with sulfur, you go to the blue side. And really, it's the big leaf hydrangeas. It's the macrophyllas that are the ones that give you that color. So, just to name some others, I really like the City Line series. And because they're a little different than some of the others that we're so familiar with, especially in the Endless Summer series. Now, there's some people that say, hey, I really love my City Lines.
Mm-hmm.
And there's others that say, hey, you know, I'm not so sure yet. They've not been around for a long, long time, but you're seeing more of the City Line series. And the beauty of the City Line series is they're not as big as some of the others. You know, they're in the 1 to 3 foot range. So, therefore, because they're a little smaller in stature, they kind of have a place in the landscape, you know. You might have a spot that's kind of limited in size, and you might say, hey, I would love to have a hydrangea, but some of the others are a little too big.
Mm-hmm.
So, think about the City Line series.
Okay.
You know, Vienna. Oh, awesome, awesome, awesome. And there's Venice. So they're all named after cities, world cities, international cities.
Okay.
There's City Line Paris. So these guys are really cool. Look for them at your local garden centers and nurseries. They're a little shorter in stature versus some of the others, especially the Endless Summer series.
So if you have a space constraint, this is what
absolutely, you need to look for. Absolutely. So you're not going to go wrong there. And we have some of those at the garden center. I know some of the other garden centers are carrying the City Line. Well worth looking for. You know, just check them out. Get out to your local garden centers and nurseries and ask to see if they have some of the City Line hydrangeas. So you're not going to go wrong there. Also, another one, Color Fantasy, a great one. It's a red mop head. Beautiful foliage, just lovely foliage. You can't beat it. It, too, you know, gets around a 3 foot range. Almost the same width.
And the mop head describes the size of the
bloom. The bloom. They call them big leaf hydrangeas mop heads.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, we had a show a few weeks ago where we were talking about the oak leaf hydrangeas. You know, there's just so many things that you can choose from. Get out to your local garden centers and nurseries. Find one of the staff members and say, hey, Tony's talking about some of these hydrangeas. Show me what you have in stock.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they may not have City Lines, there's all other types of hydrangeas that moms will love. That's the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to put the biggest smile on her face.
And we love when mom is smiling.
We love when mom is smiling. You know, we were talking a little bit there about the hydrangeas. Also, lilacs. Who doesn't like lilacs? Who doesn't like the lilacs?
I love them.
Huh?
Yeah.
We have some Miss Kim's right now, which has my favorite foliage. And hold on to it, because I'm going to tell you a little bit more about Miss Kim and some other lilacs when we come back. If you have any questions about hydrangeas or what we're talking about, or some ideas for mom for Mother's Day, call us. Give us a call, 749-B105. You know, tell us what you have in mind, what you're going to do. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. Get it around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Mother's Day Eve is happening. Make sure you take the time to jump onto our Facebook. If you haven't already done it yet, make sure you look us up and like us. We always have something to share with our Facebook friends. And you can post some pictures and post questions. But, Tony, we have a question now from Jane over in Newport.
Hi. Dayton.
Oh, okay, close enough. Dayton?
Yes.
Okay. So
yeah, I was calling because of my hydrangeas. Do they prefer sun or part sun or full sun, or what do they prefer?
Well, they need sun. Although we say that they do better in shade, you have to have some sun to get the bloom productions. You really do.
Okay, and so they don't like the full-on sun all day long.
You know, I've seen them in nurseries in the full sun, but what typically ends up happening, you know, you'll eventually end up seeing leaf scorch, especially if you miss a couple of waterings or they get a little dry. Mm-hmm. But the sun is so essential for those to set up bloom. It's just that important. And ideally, Jane, is getting sun up till noon, 1, 1:30 is ideal, especially for the big leaves, the mop heads.
Okay.
And that's what I think gives you the best bloom production is in that type of a setting, you know, from a sun exposure standpoint.
Okay.
And sometimes, you know, if you're in one of those environments, I'm going to throw this out as an example, where you might have a honey locust is a tree close by where it's not as dense, the canopy of it, and sun filters through it, you know, gives you a little bit more dappled light. That's a good situation to, you know, condition to put or place a hydrangea in.
All right. Thank you. I have a big one in my front yard and around my front deck, and trees have grown up to where they don't get, you know, a lot of sun now. And it tried to bloom last year, but it only bloomed out around the edges of the bloom.
Are the plant itself out on the, or where it got the most amount of light or sun?
It gets morning, a little bit of morning sun.
Up until when?
Oh, up until noon, like you said. But it's not, the direct sun is filtering through the trees.
Okay. You probably need a little more sun. And actually, this is so interesting because I say this all the time. Plants don't necessarily wither up and die or go away when they're not in their ideal location.
Right.
What they're doing is they're telling us, hey, put me somewhere else.
I'm gonna
perform a little more favorably for you if you just get me somewhere else.
Yeah.
You know, that's what plants do. I just picked up a book. It came in yesterday. I'm so anxious to read it. It's about how trees communicate with one another. It's supposed to be a top seller. And I find that to be interesting, and they say that it's true. But plants do communicate with us. You know, I think that they do anyway.
Oh, well, I do, too.
And my grandfather used to talk to his all the time, and I hear people say that all the time.
I was going to say
mine. As silly as that might sound, I remember, Ernie, the one time I brought in the old LP vinyl record, it was music for plants.
Mm.
As strange as that sounds, but who knows? If you we got to prove it one way or the other, but what the heck?
Yeah, I talked to mine, but we moved a couple of them. I had two, and we moved one, and it gets a lot of sun.
And is it blooming more?
No. I mean, it hasn't bloomed yet for me, so
really?
I don't know if it would, like, we transplanted it 2 years ago.
You should be seeing some bloom. What type is it?
I don't know. It's been a long time since we bought them, and my mind is not as good as it used to be.
Right. Well, most of the newer varieties of hydrangeas, they are repeat bloomers. And the beauty of more the newer series, most of the newer series is this, is that they'll bloom on new growth and last year's old growth. So it was years ago when we would primarily see the old types of hydrangeas. My mom had one, actually. And like a Nico Blue, for example, they would bloom on old wood only. And so they set up their bloom buds in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
And what would typically end up happening, and this is why pruning is important too, not to prune back in the fall on those shrubs that give you spring blooms because you cut out the blooms.
Right.
Or secondly, the winter would be severe or a lot of it would be windy and those bloom buds would freeze out.
Yeah.
So, therefore, they wouldn't really bloom every year consistently.
Well, that's interesting. I got to where I wasn't cutting off the branches, you know, or trimming them back. And I don't know if the one in front was the new growth or the old. I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'll play with them and see what I can do. But I also put some of that, Chuck and I bought some of that rose tone over at Jackson's, and my rose bushes, my climbers, are doing a whole lot better this year, and we also got the drench.
Oh, if you want golden-looking rose bushes and shrubs and so forth, you know, especially roses, if you protect them with the drench and fertilize them monthly, they'll perform for you all summer long. They'll be there.
We got some of that, and they're doing a lot better this year.
Good. Well, I'm glad to hear that.
But now I got another question.
Uh-huh.
He bought some of that wee-free zone. Is that what it is?
Yes.
Gets rid of those imitation violets and crap.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, does it have to, when you spray it, does it have to have no rain in sight for a while, or how many hours before rain?
Well, it actually sets up in a few hours. It's rain fast.
Okay.
However, you know, I always want to take that part of the Mother Nature out of the equation. So let's just say you sprayed today at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and all of a sudden we get a pop-up shower at 4:30.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then you're guessing, like, you know, is it really effective or isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, I'm just old-fashioned. I like to make sure that there's not any chance of a rain in the forecast for 24 hours.
Okay.
Therefore, I know there's more than ample time for that plant or that weed that I'm spraying to pull the product in.
Okay. Now, what if I get some in my flower beds? Will that hurt the flowers?
Yes, it would probably end up injuring the flowers.
So I have to be very careful.
Yes, very careful, yes.
Very carefully, alrighty.
You know, a simple solution there is to get a piece of cardboard that's maybe 2 feet by 2 feet or 2 by 3.
That's a good idea.
And just put it up next to those plants that you want to protect and not get any overspray on.
Okay.
You should be okay.
That's a good idea.
All right, Jane.
All right, I appreciate it, guys. Have a great weekend.
You do the
same.
Happy
Mother's Day to your mothers and wives.
You as well.
Thanks.
Bye.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Make sure you take the time to jump on to our Facebook page and post some pictures, post some questions, and follow us online. Because Tony's also posted some pictures of some window box ideas, which would be a great gift for Mother's Day.
And most definitely. And I love doing window boxes. I like doing containers when I get the opportunity. However, sometimes I'm spread a little thin, and that's just part of the game. But when I get an opportunity to take some plant combinations and pull them together and experiment with them and have fun, I enjoy that most. And I try to do those, you know, we do these special orders. I like to do them at night, you know, when we're closed, it's quiet. I can have a beer, listen to the radio, and it's just tranquil.
Just let those creative juices flow.
Absolutely. They do. I have a great time, and all of a sudden I'm bringing all these plants together, and I'm positioning them in such a way that, yeah, that looks awesome with that plant.
Mm-hmm.
And you also have to take into consideration how tall a plant can get, what its sun requirements are, all that good stuff. You know, you don't want to plant the wrong thing with the wrong thing.
Yeah. You think the old boy comes in the next day and sees all those empties laying around going, oh, Tony was working late last night.
Yeah, sometimes I've been known to leave an empty or part of one on a shelf and I forgot where I placed it. How's that? I am not a can beer drinker, so you'll hear bottles clanking. Yes.
I love that.
I try to get rid of those before I leave.
Yeah.
So my staff doesn't worry about me maybe having a problem. But, you know, it was funny. We were just talking with Jane about talking to your plants and so forth. My grandfather did it all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I have to say this. I'd rather talk to a plant than talk to myself. What do you think?
Well,
or do you do that?
No, I talk to myself all the time.
Really?
Yeah. Sooner or later, I'm going to start listening, too. 749-B105 in and around the house. It's Mother's Day Eve. We were talking about some great gift ideas. Let's go back to that, Tony, and regroup a little bit.
Well, we were talking about hydrangeas.
I know. Well, let me finish. Get you your locally owned, independently operated florist or garden center and pick up some beautiful plants. Not only can you get the great plants, but you get some great advice, too, about where to put them, how to plant them, and just like Jane was asking about whether or not they're getting good sun or enough sun or not enough sun. That's important. A lot of times people will buy a plant and think, oh, this will be the great spot for it, and put it in full sun when it prefers shade.
There's a lot of that, Ernie, and it's just like the real estate business. It's all about location, location, location. And there have been times when I've tried to make a plant work somewhere where I knew it was questionable and have gotten away with it, you know, it performing well, doing what I know that it's capable of doing. And there have been those times when I found out rather quickly, like, hey, dude, this is not happening.
Right.
So, therefore, I had to make a quick adjustment. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, just going into it, knowing the situation is so, so important. The other day I was working with, it was a couple with a landscape design. And the first thing I point out and I ask people to do, and I know with technology today, everybody comes in and they want you to look at that cell phone out in the full sun. I'm sorry, I can't see that.
No.
You know, it's like, let's load that onto your computer. Let's take those photographs and just print those out on regular paper. And do this. Whatever garden center or nursery that you're going to visit and you want some assistance with landscape designs, put it on your computer and print those out on regular paper. And print a couple of sheets of each photograph because I like to draw on the photograph. I like to draw on that sheet of paper that you just printed. So do that.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, have some measurements. Thirdly, and most important, on a day like today, as nice as it is, if you're peering outside, that sky is, there's not a cloud in the sky.
Gorgeous.
It's gorgeous. This is when I want you to walk outside at 8 o'clock, at 9 o'clock, at 10 o'clock, at 11 o'clock, and just jot down how much sun exposure you're getting. You will be surprised how much you're getting or how little you might be getting.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear this often. Homeowners will say, you know what? I'm so glad we did that because I always thought that we were getting more sun in that location than what we actually were.
Wow.
So therefore, you know, it's a nice starting point. And when you do that, you're going to be a lot more successful. And those of us in the garden centers and nurseries, we're going to be a lot more helpful and helping you put the right plant in the right place. And that's why you need to go to your local garden centers and nurseries. You're going to get the right information. You're going to get a top quality plant, and you're going to be successful. And if you aren't, we're going to be right in there with you. You're not going to have to go to the service counter and all that other stuff. We're going to make it right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's about. And sometimes we lose plants. I've lost plants. You know, and it isn't because you bought a bad plant or we sold you a bad plant. Sometimes, you know, it's just Mother Nature.
Mm-hmm.
And if something doesn't work, you know, it's like football. If you don't get a first down, you get one the next time. You know, you drop back and punt. Go right back at it. Don't be discouraged.
That's right.
You know, the sign of a good gardener, I say this often, is somebody who's lost a plant.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
Yep.
It's what it's about.
Sure. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We need to pause for a moment. When we come back,
we're still on the Mother's Day crash course for you. We're going to help you out and get you in good graces with Mom, and we're going to give you a lot of tips and ideas when we come back. Give us a call at 749-B105.
Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And again, this is going to be the perfect day to get to your locally owned, independently operated florist or garden center. Beautiful, beautiful weather today, tomorrow, Monday, and Tuesday. I know. I'm shocked. It's not raining. So this is the perfect time to get out and to get ready for Mother's Day. We've been sharing some great gift ideas, and we've got more to go through.
I have a lot to cover.
Well, get on it.
I don't know. Oh. But we have Tammy, I think, on the line with us. She has a question
from Anderson?
From Anderson.
Hi, Tammy. You have a question about a hydrangea?
Yeah, I'm curious to know if there's any that you can put in a pot to winter over that will come back in a pot.
Well, I've seen it done, and keep in mind, and this is not just with a hydrangea. This is with most anything that we're typically accustomed to planting in the landscape that's hardy. Whenever you're above ground, there are so many different elements that come into play, especially during the winter months, that it's a crapshoot. I mean, it's Russian roulette. You could have that hydrangea in a container for 3 or 4 years, or it may not even make it the first year.
Yeah.
So I don't want to sound like Debbie Downer, but hey, give it a shot. But here are some things that you can do to make it work as best that you can. And it's putting it into a larger container. The smaller the pot that you plant that in, there's more issues. You know, you got the winter winds. You know, you got that freezing and thawing action. It happens more often. But the bigger the pot, the more successful you're going to be. Secondly, depending upon where it's located, if you can bring it up close to the house where it's somewhat protected, it's a little bit warmer. You know, that's also a plus as well. You can also take it into a garage, you know, where it gets a little bit of light. You know, maybe just you barely give it moisture throughout the season or the winter months, I should say. You know, you don't keep it overly wet. Or you can put up some sort of a barrier around it. I've seen where people have taken insulation and just kind of gone around the pot with it to protect it during the winter. And I think you'll be surprised how successful that can be. I've seen people do it with Japanese maple trees as well.
So what is a good hydrangea to put in a pot?
I'll tell you one that I used to really admire, and it did so well in a container because I had a customer that did just what you're asking. It was called Lady in Red. Unfortunately, you don't see it as readily available as you used to. I would give any of them a whirl. There's one in the... It's in the Everlasting series called Revolution, and it's incredible. The blooms are various colors. You know, you'll see some that are blue, some are kind of purplish, some with they're just all different hues.
Okay.
Bloomstruck's a good one. That's one I had mentioned a little while ago.
Mm-hmm.
I also like Lemon Daddy, but Lemon Daddy's not as a prolific bloomer or some of the other hydrangeas. It's more touted for its chartreuse green foliage. Every year I buy it, you know, and sometimes if it's out in too much sun, you can see it suffer a little bit from leaf scorch. What else? You know, the city line varieties I was mentioning a little bit ago, those are good. I also like Color Fantasy, which is a great one. One that I like a lot, too, that I've not seen in a while, it's called Bluebird. It's a lace cap. What are you over in Anderson?
Yeah.
Yeah, stop by. There's a couple places on your side of town that you can stop by. Burger Farm, okay, Barge Nursery, and Plants by Wolf Angle.
Yeah.
So hit the circuit today. Pick up a hydrangea and make it happen.
Are they all considered mopheads? Are all hydrangeas called mopheads?
No, they are not. But, you know, and I'm glad you said that because, you know, I'm talking about primarily lace caps and mop heads. You also have the choice to plant a paniculata. And when I say that, that's a type of hydrangea that really, it thrives in sun. Limelight, little lime, it's a little smaller in stature. You have quick fire, little quick fire. I love quick fire. It opens up a creamy color, a creamy white. And, Tammy, as we progress through the season and go into the fall, it turns a rose color. Great, great choice. I think those would do great in a container for you. Given the fact that you want to put them in more sun than shade, but you would still have to protect them the same way during the winter months.
Well, I was really asking for my daughter. I have another question, too.
Sure.
My daughter lives in Louisville, but she came over shopping, and I told her she needed to wait and that I would look into it for her. I have several hydrangeas in my yard, and I don't cut them back. And then I notice that they're all coming out at the bottom, and then I have very little green on the from last year. Can I trim all that back?
Yes. And a great question. Really, it's not necessary to prune back some of the mop heads, you know, the big leaves. And in your situation, that is a perfect example. You need to, because some of that died back during the winter months. And those brown stems that you see, prune them back. And what I encourage homeowners to do in that particular situation is take your fingernail, your thumbnail, you know, keep going down to where you have green in that stem, and that's where you make the prune cut.
Well, I might have one little leaf coming out at the very top of this big, long stem, but the rest of it, there's nothing on it, but it's all coming out at the bottom.
Yeah, that's, you know what? In that situation, we need to dress it up. We need to clean it up a little bit and get it into shape. So that's why we always say prune with a purpose. Don't just prune to prune. You know, in your situation, I would prune that back. Some of those gnarly looking just stems where it just has one leaf on it.
Yeah.
Bring it into check.
Okay.
And do you have the macrophyllas, the mop heads? Is that
I
the variety?
I do. They have, you know, the one hydrangea I've had for many years, and it is huge. I mean, it is really big. Like.
Mm-hmm.
And it has tons of blooms on it all summer. It's beautiful.
Awesome.
And I believe it's a mop head. You know, it's big round blooms. And it's funny because some of them can be pink and some of them are like a bluish.
Right.
Like, you know.
And that has to do with the pH level. That's awesome. I mean, that's a wow factor there. You get that many blooms and, you know, you're describing the colors. That's what it's about.
Yeah.
But, you know, hey, get over to those guys on your side of town. Pay them a visit today. Get in early. You know, it's going to be crowded. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of elbow rubbing, so to speak. But go for it. Okay. Is your daughter up in town with you? Is she here?
She came yesterday, and we went shopping, and I said, let me research before you buy anything else.
Well, you researched at the right place.
Yesterday.
Perfect. Awesome. Well, you have a happy Mother's Day. And enjoy your weekend. The weather's awesome. And pick up a hydrangea.
All right. Thank you.
You're
have
welcome.
A good day.
You too.
749-B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Join us on Facebook. We need to pause for a moment. When we come back,
we're still going to hammer Mother's Day in a good way, though. There's so many things out there that's available at your local garden centers and nurseries, and we're going to tell you more about those when we come back. And give us a call. Share some ideas with us, like Tammy just did, what you're thinking about getting mom for Mother's Day. 749-B105.
Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We've been getting you set for Mother's Day, and Tony said we're going to get you in good graces with mom. We're going to do our best. Your behavior, of course, depends on you. We have Dan on the line from Loveland who's got another question. You seem to have sparked a little something here, Tony, with hydrangeas. Hey,
yes,
Dan,
sir.
What's your question, sir?
So I bought three hydrangeas from one of the home improvement stores late last summer into fall. And, mm-hmm. of course, they were beautiful, planted them. They continued to grow and look well until probably 4 to 5 weeks afterwards. And the leaves on all of them got really ugly-looking brown spots. And most of the leaves either died off or just looked really bad for the rest of the fall. So I pruned them back this spring, just as the new leaves were starting to come out, at least cut the dead branches off, and two of them look really good so far, but one of them's already, they're probably 6 inches tall, one of them's starting to get the brown spots already on them.
Do you know the variety?
I do not, I'm sorry.
Okay, so on the leaf, Dan, is it majority of the leaf, is it green with some circular spots?
Yes, basically. It kind of starts as smaller spots, a bunch of small little spots, and then some of them kind of grow together to be bigger spots.
Right. Usually, now I can't say with certainty in this particular situation, usually what you'll see there, and it's pretty common, and it isn't anything to be, you know, when especially when a hydrangea is older and well-established, it isn't anything to be concerned about. But I think when they're relatively young and still trying to get acclimated and off to a good start, it could be. But there's an issue, like a second disease is called Cercospora.
Okay.
And that's common with a lot of hydrangeas, and you'll see some of those blemishes on the leaves. Now, in your particular situation, I can't say that's exact or that's perhaps what's going on. I know also, too, it could be a part of some of the damp weather that we've had as well. Air circulation around that shrub itself. Maybe how well the drainage is with that particular shrub that's struggling in relation to the other two.
Okay.
You know, and one other thing I want to ask you, can you take me through some of the steps that you followed or had taken when you planted your hydrangea?
So I pretty much dug a hole about, I don't want to say half as wide. You know, let's say it was a 12-inch pot that it was in, probably about 3 to 4 inches wider all the way around and about 3 to 4 inches deep. And then put potting soil on the bottom, put the plant in, and so that it was up just a little bit above the soil surface, and then filled in around it and mulched, you know, basically over it or around it.
Okay. You said something there, a couple of things that come into play. One is I like the fact that you raised it a little bit, although you dug the hole a little deeper. Most of your rooting action with most shrubs and trees is more horizontal versus going deep down like a taproot.
Right.
What I would have liked to have heard you say is that you dug that hole two times the width of the pot.
Okay.
Because sometimes if you don't get really good drainage and you just, you know, dug that hole just barely enough to accommodate that plant when you took it out of the pot and just added a little bit of loose topsoil around it, allows water to permeate that loose topsoil that you just placed around the root structure of the plant. And if it's not draining well, it has a tendency to fill up like a bathtub.
Right, just set.
Right. And just for future reference, you know, just wait it out, your shrub, see what happens. And if you happen to lose it, just replace it. And just remember this going forth. And this applies to most types of plantings. I always like to dig the hole at least two times the width of the pot.
Okay.
Not deep, just wide. And that soil that I take out, I'm ultimately going to use it. I'm not going to discard it because that's what the plant's going to grow in once it gets larger. So when that soil is out of the hole off to the side, I look at that soil by volume and I say to myself, you know, I'm going to add about, you know, 30% of another type of soil amendment. And in your case, I would have been adding more peat moss to my existing soil. Or maybe a peat moss compost cow manure mixture to that existing soil and then fill back in with it. Our hydrangea is like acidic soil, and taking them to that level will help give you that blue-colored bloom,
right?
Unless you like the pink. So anytime we plant, I always like to amend the soil with pine fines, peat moss, compost. Those are things that really set the stage for good drainage and a healthier and happier plant. Always refrain from using Miracle-Gro as a fertilizer after you plant a tree or a shrub. I'm not in favor of it. I'm not knocking the company by any means. It's high in nitrogen. It's high in salts, my opinion. I like to use other products that really kick it off and give it a good start. One of those is a root stimulator. Fertilume makes an excellent root stimulator. It's genetically engineered with hormones to get that root system off to a good start. That's one avenue that you can take when you plant something new. The second one that you can do is also use Aspomas Biotone, which has mycorrhiza. Any one of those two products will work well for you, and then wait a year before you go to do any other types of fertilization.
Okay. Is there anything I should do to the leaf surface, any sprays or anything, or just ride it out?
No, I'd ride it out, especially you just telling me like you probably have about 6 to 8 inches worth of growth.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. You know, some of the leaves that are really gnarly or totally black, just pull those. Just, you know, you can pull it off, clean it up a little bit, see if it re-leafs out.
Okay.
And follow up with us. You know, great conversation. You know, these are interesting things that occur, especially with the weather we've been having.
Gotcha.
All right. Dan, have a great weekend, buddy. What are you doing for Mom? Is Mom still with you?
We're heading to Norris Lake in Tennessee right now, as a matter of fact.
All right. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the weather.
Thanks.
Bye.
You too.
See ya. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation about Mother's Day. We need to pause for a moment. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys, Mother's Day Eve. And we're trying to get you set so that you get to your locally owned, independently operated florist or garden center and pick up some beautiful flowers to give to Mom and some other great gift ideas. And I was about to ask Tony, what are some of the more popular Mother's Day gifts?
Well, you know, probably the number one is the hydrangea. Secondly, I have to say, lilacs, and then a close third, a lot of guys come in and their moms love Boston ferns, the big old hanging basket, Boston fern.
Yeah. You have some beautiful ones.
We do. They're grown for us. They're awesome. We sell a beautiful 9-inch, the 10-inch, and the 12-inch is incredible in size.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever picked one of those up?
I am. Yep.
And, you know, the beauty of those is that there's plenty of room for those to grow.
Yes.
So, therefore, they weren't shipped up out of the Sunshine State because we got to get rid of these really quick, which goes to some of the mass merchants. And they're little pot bound because you'll never water them thoroughly enough. And I hear it all the time. I got these the other day at such and such. And they don't look as nice as yours. I know why they don't look as nice as ours. And I know why they don't look as nice as the others that have garden centers and nurseries here in the tri-state area. It's because they wanted those out on the quick truck north, the fast truck north. They know that they're root bound. They can't hold enough moisture. They're brown. They're gnarly. And that's what you get.
Gnarly.
But look at those Boston ferns. They're beauties. That's a great gift for Mom.
Mm-hmm.
Also, a blooming hanging basket, a combination basket. You know, make sure that you know the type of situation where Mom's baskets might be hanging so you buy the right ones. Are you getting a lot of sun? Are you getting a lot of shade? If you're not sure, here's a go-to basket. If you're not sure what the sun conditions are or light requirements or what's there, the amount of sunlight and so forth, is the dragon wing begonia. You can't go wrong there. That's a no-brainer. Prolific bloomer. Loves the sun if it's in sun. Loves the shade if it's in shade. It gets along well with you and everybody else. If it's getting sun and shade, it's a no-brainer. The dragon wing begonia, you can't go wrong. So if you're not sure what the exposure is at Mom's house, pick that basket up.
Pick that bad Oscar up as you
pick that says. Bad Oscar up. That's what I told Steve Voskal on Facebook this morning. He showed us, he sent us a nice photograph. Is that where you picked that up from?
Yeah, I was just looking at the page.
Yeah, Steve Voskal sent us a photo of his bearded iris, and it's ready to just blow open. And I said, wait till that bad Oscar opens. It's going to be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you like that line, don't you?
I do. It's pretty funny.
You know something else you can pick up for Mom? And this morning when I came in, I still admire all the time those drift roses that are right outside the door. The drift roses outside the door here, as you walk into the building, they're the peach color drift. They're drop-dead gorgeous. And I'm going to tell you this. They're better in the ground than they are when you see them in a container in the nursery. You just have to understand that part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they do a lot better in the ground, especially if they go through a winter.
Mm-hmm.
They're drop-dead gorgeous down there. You know, another plant that I've kind of been punching on, beating on, and knocking around on is the knockout. You know, back in 2012, the knockout took a beating. It really did. We found out that, you know, going through that severe of a winter, some things just didn't pan out the following spring. But when I see knockouts that are healthy, that look great, it's still a prolific bloomer, you know. And it's all about keeping the rose slug off of them, keeping them fertilized, and pruning them back every year. I know a lot of rose aficionados, you know, the true rose lovers, rose people, are not a knockout fan, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for some people, it's not that important. But still, the knockout, when I see those in bloom, I still have an appreciation for the knockout. And probably more so for the yellow, and it's because it's fragrant. You know, it has that lemony scent. And the yellow, when it opens up, it's yellow. It's a beautiful yellow. It's a single bloom. It's not a double bloom. And it gradually fades off to a light yellow to a whitish color. And when it turns that color, then deadhead them. And you'll just have blooms coming after bloom. So those are other good items as well. If you're looking to pick something up for mom in the nursery. And I don't want to forget about a tree. If mom likes trees... All right, or she's got a space for a tree.
We'll talk about trees when we come back.
You got it.
In and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We need to pause for a moment. When we come back, we'll have some tree ideas for you for gifts for Mother's Day. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And we're getting you prepped and ready for Mother's Day. We've been spending a lot of time this morning talking about some plants ideas, but we also now want to touch base on trees.
Great tree ideas for gifts for mom. Still, mom always loves the snow fountain cherry.
The snow fountain cherry.
Oh, yeah. May not be in bloom at the moment, okay? Mm-hmm. It's already gone through its bloom cycle. However, still a beautiful specimen to have in the landscape. It just drapes down, gives you that, you know, as it matures and gets older, it just looks like a white snowfall, like a fountain.
Wow.
Going right over. So that's a great tree gift idea for mom if she's looking for an ornamental blooming type of tree.
Mm-hmm.
Another one, just to give you a quick idea, is a magnolia. Moms love magnolias. Who doesn't like the magnolia? So many to choose from, so many different varieties. You know, you can get a Bracken's Brown. You can do the one that gives you the yellow bloom called Butterflies. Beautiful specimen. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Leonard Messel, you know, it's more of a shrub type, gets taller. Jane, Anne. So those are just to name another couple of varieties that give you that beautiful bloom in the spring. You can't beat it. What do I have right now that's in full bloom? A Styrax. It's a Japanese snowbell. Oh, my God. You should see this tree. Beautiful, beautiful structure. I have three of them sitting in the garden center. They've been in bloom for a couple of weeks.
Well, kind of describe it.
It's a tree that gets about 20 feet, 25, give or take. You know, mm-hmm. It's somewhere in that range. I don't know. I just like the structure of this particular tree. Right. I love the bloom on it. It's unique. It's just different. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that may in itself be a great gift for mom as well. And another one that comes to mind that I forget about often is the peony. Moms love peonies. My grandmother loved her peonies. I used to mow those things down. I would get an earful. After a point in time, you got tired of mowing around them. That was a part of me that I guess I didn't have patience.
You were pruning them back.
Yeah, a little bit. Boy, I would get an earful too. But peonies, you gotta love peonies. You know, also, it's not just that the peony is a shrub. You can also find it in a tree form. You know, it kind of takes on a tree growth type of structure or look to it. And it's unique in itself. You don't see a lot of tree peonies out there, but when you do, they're different and are well worth going for. And on that same note, there's another peony out there that's relatively new to the industry. It's been out for 3 or 4 or 5 years. And those are the Ito peonies. They are cross-sectional peonies. That was a tree peony crossed with a standard shrub form peony. And it gives us that structure about itself that it doesn't flop over. It's a lot sturdier. And actually, the way I understand it, when I was reading a little bit about the Ito peony a couple of years ago, the guy who actually developed it never lived to see them bloom, unfortunately. But one of the most popular is one called Bartzella, which is yellow. It's a beautiful specimen. So the peony is a great gift idea as well for mom. Where else can we go with this, Ernie? Let's spin it out into the landscape a little bit with, let's get artsy maybe.
Spin the big wheel.
Spin it. We've been talking a lot about plants. You know, what about a nice concrete bench?
I love that.
For mom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, benches are, I think they just create that ambiance out in the garden. Mm-hmm. You know, it helps create another room environment, you know, if you have that type of space. We can just go out, have a cup of coffee, sit on a bench, and just admire your landscape.
Very inviting.
Absolutely.
Watch the birds.
Watch the birds.
Mm-hmm.
Concrete?
You sit on the concrete and get eaten up by the mosquitoes.
What I want to say. Mosquitoes? What I want to say is concrete. I'll get that out. Statuary. We've been selling a lot of interesting things on pedestals. Concrete statuary that, for example, we bought a couple of those birds in flight.
Yeah.
And they're concrete. Very eclectic, very cool looking. Mm-hmm. You know, it has its place in the garden. It has movement about it. We also have a really neat concrete piece that's on a pedestal that is a combination of a moon with the sun.
Right.
Really cool stuff. Those are pieces, you know, if you're not looking for a water movement or a fountain of any sort or a bird bath, just concrete statuary that gives you some uniqueness or depth or creativity in the garden itself.
Right. Yeah. Do you still have those big bird baths down there?
Yes, I have bird baths. Yes. Okay. I know that you like those real big ones.
I do. And I'm going to get down there to get one of them. My neighbor came down to your place and purchased one, and it's twice the size of the one we have. The one we have is old and it's chipped and stuff, but we need to raise it up. Sadly, I was sitting out on the porch watching the birds feed, and a bird went to the bird bath, and Opie stood up on his hind legs and snatched it right.
right out of the
bird bath, and there wasn't anything I could do except it made me realize that I'm going to have to raise that up just a little bit.
Well, that's why you have the pedestal. You understand that, Ernie?
It's on the pedestal.
Get it up off the ground.
It is on the pedestal, but it's a smaller, older one, but he stood right up and
that
poor thing didn't have a chance.
Right. You know, something you mentioned about the larger bird baths, keep this in mind. Some of them are quite deep.
Mm-hmm.
They're better suited to plant in.
Yeah.
If you're going to get a bird bath that's large and deep, you might want to add some flat stone or rock into the center of it so the birds can get in it rather easily. It's not too deep where they drown.
Right. So they can almost like a little wading pool
exactly,
in the middle.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So keep that in mind. So when you think about those larger bird baths, that comes into play. It really does. And, you know, last but not least, and then we're going to go on to something else I want to talk about as well. But, you know, if you're not really sure what to get mom, hey, a gift card. You can't go wrong with a gift card.
No.
And they never expire, or ours don't. So, and they shouldn't over in the state of Kentucky, if I'm not mistaken. So that whole expiration thing, and are you allowed to still decrement those? You know what I'm talking about? If you have it for every month, no activity, you take $1.50 off. Come on.
It's going to take me a minute to look up decrement. 749-B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We need to pause for a moment when we come back.
You know, I want to touch on something. We've had a lot of rain, and I know that some of us started out early because the weather was nice, trying to get our lawns back into shape, and maybe had some issues with too much rain washing away grass seed. And I just want to touch base on a new grass seed that's out there that you need to take a serious look at. Give us a call at 749-B105. We'll be right back.
Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Make sure you take a few minutes to jump onto our Facebook page, Wimbley Wambly Wombly. Tony has posted some pictures of some window boxes he was working on. What are in those boxes you got?
What's
there
in those boxes?
Yes.
That particular planting that I did is more for shade, morning sun. And it's a great... it's a great illustration of like taking a couple of elements when you design a container or a window box in relation to what they do and how they come together and fill out a particular container or window box.
Yeah.
In this particular photograph, you can see where I used, you know, we talk about the element of the thriller and how important that it is and how it kind of like stands out and is the attention getter, so to speak. And then we also talk about, you know, the fillers that accompany or complement and work along with the thriller or the attention getter like you. And then you have the spiller element. So all three of these design elements are easily identifiable here in this photograph that we have on our Facebook page. And the thriller in these window boxes is a white caladium. I love caladiums. And we were talking about caladiums a couple of weeks ago. People have a tendency to want to put those out a little too early. They are very sensitive to temperatures. And you know, when I say that, not just the air temperatures, but also the soil temperatures. And when they're grown locally, you know, people are putting those on the benches that have heat cables. So the soil is a lot warmer inside the greenhouses in that type of environment versus when you put them out a little too early, prematurely, they don't quite do all that well. So that's why you need to wait till Mother's Day. And we're there.
Mm-hmm.
We're there. So the caladium takes center stage right there. And look at the green veining in that white leaf. It's incredible. And for me, when I put together containers, don't get me wrong, I love blooms. You know, blooms, you know, the vibrant color.
Mm-hmm.
But just as important for me when I'm designing in that whole element is taking the foliage, the textures of different things and bringing them together and making them work harmoniously in a container, I think is more important than color sometimes. But I have a little of both in these particular window boxes. So you see, I had the caladium. I'm working with the caladium as the thriller, as the attention getter. So I've softened it up with the maidenhair fern. The maidenhair fern it's wispy, it's lightweight, it's almost feathery in a lot of ways. And it's really a cool plant to work with. Loves the shade, likes a little bit of moisture, and it has black stems.
Mm.
So these two, I think, play well on the playground together.
Sure.
And they complement one another. So as I put those two pieces together, those two plants, the caladium and the maidenhair fern, I came in there with the Rieger begonia, and I used the yellow. So I'm kind of trying to keep things in a monochromatic tone as well. And, you know, it's not a hodgepodge of color. So I have placed in here, and if you noticed, I've used three in this particular window boxes. I'm trying to use some odd numbers, you know, plant and, you know, use a plant by itself as a single specimen, threes, fives, if you can. And I know that a lot of that has to do with, you know, the size of the box or the size of the pot. You make it work. It's your artwork. It's your canvas. And that's what's so fun about doing containers. Mm-hmm. It really is. Mm-hmm. I love this. I love to hang out at work at night. It's quiet. I got a cold beer, and I'm having fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's tranquil. It's my peace. It's my downtime. I don't get to do it as quiet as often as I like to, but when I do, I enjoy it. So I have these three elements right now coming into play,
mm-hmm.
and I used as a spiller a couple of items here in this particular window box. The first one being they're towards the center. It's Lysimachia, Creeping Jenny. I love it. And it can be a perennial, too, in the landscape. It likes shade, morning sun. The more sun it gets, it can sometimes get leaf scorch and turn really a bright chartreuse color. But this will give you some nice dimension and element as a spiller. It works well with what's in this particular window box. And finally, last but not least, I've used a needlepoint kind of ivy, which has, you can get different types of ivy. It can be all green. It can be variegated, like a light cream color in green.
Mm-hmm.
This one here in particular has a yellow hue to it as the variegation. And it picks up on the yellow Rieger begonias, and it works so well with everything in this particular box. These are really nice. I did these for Sandy Adams, a great customer.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be well suited for the area that they're going in.
Tony is talking about the pictures we have posted on our In and Around the House Facebook page. And some beautiful plants, window boxes. Now, let me ask you, did the color of the box influence the plants that you put in there? If it were a darker box or maybe a brown or green box, would you have put different plants in?
I would not have put different plants in it. And as a matter of fact, that you mentioned that if it was a black box, you would see that chartreuse green color with the Lysimachia, even popping more against the dark background of the black box, and also the variegated ivy.
Now, would the darker box generate more heat? Would that make it more difficult for those plants to survive? Or, well, you know, you have to water it more often?
Not necessarily. You know, these particular, this arrangement with what we've planted up here, it's more conducive for shade. Mm-hmm. So, therefore, I would not think that the black box would take on too much heat, which it can, you know, if it's out in the sun. That we all know that. Lighter colors reflect heat and light, and darker colors absorb it. So, good question there, Ernie. Not bad on your part.
More than just a hat rack over
and
there.
And, you know, the other element, too, that's really, really important here, and last but not least, is when I'm finished with these boxes or when I'm finished with containers, is fertilizing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can fertilize with Osmocote. It just spread it on top of the surface, scratch it with your fingertips. Therefore, every time you water or it rains, it's a slow fertilization.
Mm-hmm.
And it works so well with these types of situations and window boxes and containers. It takes the whole you having to mix things up all the time out of play. So it's a great way to keep your boxes looking nice. And always water underneath the foliage.
I was going to ask you that. How would you go about watering that box?
If they're up high, I would probably have a watering wand.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just water underneath the foliage. And, you know, make sure that you don't get it on top of the foliage, especially at night. You know, when we get into the warmer parts of the summer months, you're watering on top at night. Think about it. Things don't dry out as quickly, so therefore the water lies around for a longer period of time, which could create some potential fungal issues. So just practice good watering habits.
Sure.
So important.
It's important.
That it is.
Knowing when to water and how to water will help the life of your plants.
That it is.
749-B105 in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Mother's Day Eve, we're trying to get you hooked up so that you can get to your locally owned, independently operated garden center. Shop locally because 67 cents of every dollar you spend at a local establishment stays in the local economy. And we've got a lot more great ideas coming your way about Mother's Day. We're going to share them when we return in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. And also, a lot of people are thinking about the grass and the grass seed and whether or not there's an opportunity to get out there.
I want to cover that because it's not too late to still sow grass seed. I want to tell you about a new seed that was introduced from Central Farm and Garden that you definitely need to get out to your local garden centers and nurseries and pick this particular seed up because you're going to be glad that you did. I know that some people I've talked with recently, a lot of seed that they planted has washed away, so they still have some voids, and it's not too late to take care of it. 749-B105, we'll be right back.
Welcome back to Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We've been getting you ready for Mother's Day. But we also want you to pay a little attention to your grass and your lawn. I know a lot of us, especially me, because I walked over to fill the bird feeders yesterday afternoon, and it was similar to walking on a sponge. The ground was so saturated. But there's going to be a great opportunity for you now to pay a little attention to the lawn.
You know, for the most part, lawns are looking really good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have seen some clover starting to bloom, actually, you know, starting to show that little white color on top of the foliage there. It was this morning, actually. I saw it when I was coming in. But for the most part, lawns are looking still good. I know there's still a lot of rapid growth going on because we all have fertilized and so forth. But if there are some of those areas that you were trying to repair or, you know, whip into shape and wasn't quite so successful because we've had a lot of rain, it's still plenty of time to take care of the lawn and fix and repair some of those spots. And even if you have a new home construction, still plenty of time. But I want to talk about Fine Lawn H2O, which was formerly Fine Lawn Elite. They got turf grass water conservation certification. And that's becoming so important these days because, you know, water is a commodity. And think about it out west and so forth.
Right.
When there's restrictions on when you can water, it's even more important to have a turf that's more drought tolerant. And that's where it comes into play for Fine Lawn Elite. It is now Fine Lawn H2O. And it gives us that water conservation element about it. It uses less water, less fertilization, less chemicals. And think about it. Who doesn't like that element?
Love that idea.
You know, it lessens your expenses throughout the course of the season. And it also, most importantly, it still exhibits Fine Lawn H2O, still has that exceptional turf quality and tremendous wear tolerance that we're so accustomed to having with Fine Lawn Elite. You're not skipping a beat. You're gaining one key element, and that's that water conservation element.
Mm-hmm.
And that coupled with the wear tolerance, disease resistance, and that beautiful green, deep, you know, color in that lawn, you can't beat it.
That's the epitome of going green.
And you can only find Fine Lawn H2O at your local garden centers and nurseries here in the tri-state area. It's a beautiful, tall fescue. You're not skipping a beat. Formerly, you're familiar with it as being Fine Lawn Elite. It's now Fine Lawn H2O.
So when you get to your locally owned, independently operated garden center today to pick up Mother's Day gifts and plants and flowers, talk to them about this new grass seed.
Right, and it's recommended anywhere. I mean, you know, there aren't any limitations for it. Home lawns, commercial sites, parks, golf courses, you name it, you're not going to go wrong with Fine Lawn H2O, that's for sure.
Great
product. Also, you know, if you're repairing some of those spots, instead of buying a big bale of straw, you know, buy Seed Accelerator from Greenview.
Mm-hmm.
It's in a nice little bag. There are these little pellets, a little hint of fertilization there, and you just spread them out lightly, and when you water it, it swells, and it serves as a light mulch, keeps a little bit of moisture there when necessary, and you don't have to get that straw all over. Great product, yeah. Seed Accelerator. It really is. And if you don't use it all, you're not going to use it all for small spots. Just roll it up, clothespin it, and anytime you need to do any turf repair and you need that product, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to buy a large bale of straw.
Nice. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Need to pause for a moment. When we come back, we got Vicky to us on the line, and we're going to talk about some tomatoes, or tomatoes, depending on how you like to say it. We'll be right back. Welcome back, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have our friend Vicky to us on the line. We're going to talk about tomatoes. Hi, Vicky. Thanks for holding on.
Hi. How are you, Tony? Ernie.
Yes. Doing wonderful. Doing wonderful.
Great.
Ernie's
great.
Smooth. He's dandy today.
Always yes. Dandy.
Dandy. How are you, Vicky?
Great. Yeah, now that the sun's coming
out. Oh, I'm telling you.
Don't know how to act.
It is so beautiful out there.
It is, and it is less green, like you were saying, everything, the trees, the grass, the whole bit. But anyway,
I was just calling about the heirloom tomatoes.
All right, let's talk about it.
Yeah, I guess I'm plugging myself here, but I started the Ohio Valley Seed Swap, where we trade seeds and we're building up the historical varieties that were almost lost. And I myself, over the past several years, have collected several hundred varieties. And this year, I have 155 varieties going.
Wow.
And I've had people coming by to get them yesterday for Mother's Day gifts. So it's not just flowers that mothers want.
No.
They want some of these terrific old varieties of tomatoes. Also, for those who like fairs, today in Bellevue, Kentucky, is at the Bellevue Bloom Fair, which is a garden fair.
Oh, cool.
And it's up and down the main street of the town. And I will be there, set up in the 300 block with our heirloom tomatoes.
Cool.
Or you can come out to the farm. Ed and Irene will be holding down the fort here.
So you already have tomatoes, or do you have tomato plants?
No, they're plants.
Yeah, okay.
I'm sorry, the plants, yeah.
Just wanted to make certain.
Right.
Real quick, and most importantly, Vicki, when you leave the Big Bone area and you head through down to Bellevue, you got to go through...
Oh, I know.
You got to stop at Jackson's and drop off some asparagus.
I better get out of
some
real quick.
I like that.
It slowed down this week with the cold.
Sure.
So there hasn't been much to pick, but I can pick this morning yet. I have a little bit of time. I will have to try to do that for you.
You know, please do. Please do. Just, I'll look for you. You don't have to pull in. It's going to be crowded. I'll just look for you, and we can do the handoff at the curb.
Well, it may be later in the day. How late are you there?
5:30.
Okay, I might not make it.
Well, if you're coming by at 5:30, bring a 12-pack and asparagus. How's that?
So you're needing it.
Yes, you'll need it
at that point.
Oh, you aren't kidding. I'm looking forward to just getting in there today and getting down and dirty and make it happen. Hey,
well,
you know.
I would love. Go ahead.
Real quick, when are you going to do your tomato festival this year like you did last year?
We are. It's going to be August 12th here at our farm. And our farm is located in Big Bone Road in Union, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
And we are making plans for it right now so that we're ready. And it's going to be great tasting as many varieties as we have ripe. And just sharing information on tomatoes. So it'll be a good time. If anybody wants to get information on that and follow us as we post it, we have a Facebook page that's Thistlehair Farm Followers. And it's thistle like your head of hair. Our dog got burrs and thistles in his hair the day we bought the farm and the kids named it that. So,
oh, I like that. Great idea.
Yeah, kind of stuck. Also, I really would love to see people start saving seeds from these tomatoes that they pick up and attend the Ohio Valley Seed Swap next year.
Great idea.
That would be great to spread that around.
Sounds fantastic.
Awesome. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to try and dig back into the archives and post those photographs from your tomato festival last year.
Awesome.
It was such a great event. And Colonel D was there, Ernie, and had some spices and different things to sell. Right. Just there were so many.
Yeah, we're talking with a couple other chefs this year also.
Awesome.
Maybe doing some cooking demos with tomatoes.
Yeah.
So it should be a good time.
My favorite was the green zebra. I don't know why, but amongst others, there were so many there to choose from. It was mind-blowing. It was beautiful, too. Just a beautiful table setup. I'm going to dig in the archives, and we'll post that.
Awesome. That would be great, Tony.
Vicki, always good to hear from you. Tell Ed I said hi. Have a great day. All right.
Yeah, you too, hon.
We'll
see
you. Bye.
Bye-bye. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation about Mother's Day.
It's about Mom.
We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys, and it is Mother's Day Eve. We've got a couple of other things we want to share with you about Mother's Day gifts and some ideas, but right now, Tony, we have Jerry on the line from Taylor Mills. Got a hanging basket question for you. Hey, Jerry, thanks for hanging on.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing great.
Sally's seen the sun.
Yeah, I don't know how to behave.
I got a question. My wife, she buys these big old hanging baskets all the time. She buys them up the street at Jackson's. And How often do you water them? Because I know it just runs straight out the bottom.
Well, it depends on the size of the basket, how full the basket is, the type of plants that are in the basket, and its actual location. Is it sun or shade? So those are the things that are necessary that need to be taken into consideration, when it comes to watering. And before you do anything, I always use my index finger, or I can feel the bottom of the pot and just lift it up lightly. If it's easy to lift up from just pressing up on the bottom of the pot, it's definitely light in weight and it needs a drink. Or I'm going to use my index finger and put it into the side, and if it's moist, I'm going to leave it alone. Now, we sell some of those hanging baskets that have a combination of things in those baskets. It could be scovola. It could be petunias. It could be verbena. You name it. The calibrachoas, we call them million bells. It could be a combination of those types of plants, and they're quite large.
Right, it's the bigger ones you guys sell up there.
Yeah, they're quite large. And the real key to taking care of those is watering properly. And I always encourage homeowners, when you have those large baskets like that, and any hanging basket, is to lift the foliage up on the side, just take your hand underneath it, and place your hose underneath the foliage and give them a good drink. Now, if they go dry, yeah, the water's going to run right through it, but you might add a little bit more water after the fact. So when you have hanging baskets, they're sun-loving, and you're up above hanging, the wind comes into play, the size of the basket and the plants, they're going to drink more water. So there's a lot of factors there, and it's just check them every day. In some cases, some of those big baskets, I could water in the morning, and I check them later that day, because if you let them wilt down severe enough two or three times, then you're going to end up having to cut it back a little bit.
Right.
You let that happen once, maybe twice, and they bounce back. That's good. But, and fertilize those with Jack's Classic Petunia Feed. That's a great fertilizer for hanging baskets, and especially for petunias and million bells. They thrive on that Jack's Classic. Look for that at your local garden centers and nurseries. The Jack's Classic is an excellent, excellent petunia fertilizer.
Is that a Fertiloom product?
No. It's the old Peters. Oh, if you remember the old Peters 20-20-20, it's that company under a different name, Jack's Classic for petunias. It has a totally different analysis. And the person that really, I got to give credit to Mike McCabe over at McCabe's in Lawrenceburg. Mike told me about this particular fertilizer years ago. And ever since, I've been a believer. And Mike's an excellent grower. Those guys know. They're feeding those guys. They're giving them the juice, and that's what works.
Okay.
It really does.
I didn't know if I was over-watering them, because I already watered them like every other day.
You check them you over-water them, you'll know, too. You'll know it. They'll wilt down just like they were if they were dry, and then you keep watering them. That's why I'm telling you to use your index finger. If it's moist and it's in a wilted stage, that's not good, So it's a very fine line. It's a fine line to walk. It's a tightrope.
Yeah, because they only get the afternoon sun.
I'm sorry?
They only get the late afternoon sun.
Oh, the afternoon sun. I thought you said something else. Yeah, as long as you're getting 6 hours of sun, if they're the sun baskets. But, plants will tell you, they talk to us, believe it or not. And, again, they don't always necessarily wither off or die on us. They just don't give us that bloom production that they're capable of giving us. So, therefore, they're telling us, hey, move me somewhere else. I'm going to do a lot better for you. And with a hanging basket, you have that versatility.
That's what I told us. You might want to move them back into shade more or something.
It depends, yeah. I don't know what's in them, Jerry. But, it's baskets. Maintaining a basket takes a little effort, but boy, when you do, they're beauties. You just got to stay on top of them.
She's always teasing me because we put like 150 tomato plants in the big garden out every year, and she's like, well, you got a green thumb, how come you can't make these grow? I'm like, I'm not a miracle worker. I don't know what's wrong with them. I'm going to call them guys.
Yeah. It's a finesse, and once you master that, you're on top of your game with hanging baskets. And you know, a lot of times, go ahead.
I know there's a lot of different varieties. I feel like you see them in the coconut baskets, and mm-hmm. I thought, well, maybe try that. Or
and you have a good point there. You know, the coconut liners, the cocoa liners, a lot of times they have a tendency to dry on homeowners, even in the window boxes.
Right.
And in some some of those situations, you know, if it's a large enough pot or window box, I encourage people to use some of those old little shallow pie tins, just enough to hold a little bit of moisture down low, and it keeps them from drying out a little too quickly. So,
okay.
Yeah, and don't water on top. You know, a lot of times you water on top, it just mats them down.
Well, that's what she does. She pours like a pitcher full on the top, and I said, I don't think you should do that. Lift it up a little bit and pour it to the side of it.
Yeah, you can water that way, but it's not the ideal way.
Well, it always seems like it's got a big bare spot in the middle when she does it like that.
That's what happens. And then sometimes you got to resort to a little haircut with a pair of scissors, Jerry, straighten her out. You got it all wrong. All right?
I'm trying. All right, thanks.
Have a good weekend.
And then let us know. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We have to pause for a minute. When we come back, more Mother's Day ideas. We'll be right back. Welcome back, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. It is Mother's Day Eve, and if you haven't done so yet, you need to do it right away. Get to your locally owned, independently operated florist or garden center and get some flowers ordered or some other gift ideas Tony has.
Oh, yeah. I like when you say Mother's Day Eve. It's like New Year's Eve, Christmas Eve,
yes.
Mother's Day Eve. So it's time to celebrate. It's time to have a big party.
Yeah, because at midnight, it's too late.
It's too late. It's Mother's Day. Lots of ideas out there, especially if mom likes to work out in the yard or in the garden, or she's in need of some hanging baskets. As we were just talking with Jerry about hanging baskets, there's a lot of beautiful hanging baskets that are available at your local independent garden centers and nurseries that you can pick up, take home, and just put the biggest smile on her face. Also, we were talking a lot earlier in the program about hydrangeas. Moms love hydrangeas.
Uh-huh.
They really do. Number one seller, bar none, hands down. Moms love hydrangeas.
I can tell you what they don't like. When you're a little kid and you're practicing your baseball swing, they do not like you swinging at those great big balloons. It just made me think of that when we were a kid, one of the times it got in trouble, that they're just whacking away, having a great old time.
I
couldn't sit down for a day or so.
Whoa. I never did things like that, Ernie. I was well behaved. Where I grew up.
Is that why your aunt locked you in the basement?
Yeah, you have one on me, don't you? Yeah. Yeah.
And I got to meet her. That was even better.
That was, wasn't it?
But mom's the subject of our focus for tomorrow.
Lots of things, you know, lilacs are available at your local garden centers and nurseries. Gosh, we can just go on and on. Knockout roses, drift roses, or another item you might be on your list.
You were talking a little bit about roses, and I think maybe we should revisit that just a little bit because of the rose slug and a couple of other diseases that might be creeping in there because of a lot of the weather.
Yeah, you know, the rose slug is probably, which is the larva from the sawfly, is probably the most troublesome thing with roses, mm-hmm. I would have to say, because they set up shop quick, and man, they can munch overnight or a couple of nights, and you'll go by your rose bush garden or your rose garden, you'll say, whoa, you're like, what's going on here? You know what's going on there.
Hold on there, Bubba Louie.
Hold on. I'll be right back. You know, it's like that mole traveling through the yard. I'll be right back.
Yeah.
Go get the shovel. But, yeah, it's, you know, and you can remedy that really quick with the drench, Fertilume Systemic Tree and Shrub Drench. That will take care of that issue. You might have to cut your rose bushes back, but that will take care of it for sure. Mm-hmm. And fertilize them monthly. You know, so if you're picking up a rose bush for mom, pick up the drench and pick up the fertilizer. Just make it all in one. Just make it a basket. Make
nice.
It all in one. One-stop yeah. shop right there. What do you think?
I love it.
You know, also, we were talking about the Boston Ferns. You know, if your mom has a porch and it has that type of exposure where you got mostly, you know, you got bright light, but mostly shade, Boston Ferns are beautiful on the porch. Just, you know, water them every day, you know, grow their helper with it, fertilize them, you know, about every 10 to 14 days. But Boston Ferns, people love the Boston Fern.
Mm-hmm. You know, big, beautiful, easy to maintain.
Even you can take care of that.
I can. Yeah, I can.
That's a no-brainer. You don't even have to deadhead it.
Although it's kind of fun. I noticed Lisa does that quite a bit when they're out there. It's sort of her relaxing time. You were talking about having some refreshment while you were building window boxes. That's one of her favorite things to do is to get out there on the porch and deadhead some plants and just spend a little time out there.
Right. You know, there's also a lot of perennials available, too, that are really starting to, you know, come into their own. You know, the Nepeta is in full bloom, a beautiful, well, you know, it's just a, it's an unbeatable perennial in the landscape. Actually, they're right downstairs as you walk into the studio here, the building.
Mm-hmm.
The Coreopsis, you know, the Zagreb, Moonbeam, Route 66, you know, all of those are starting to come into their own. The Russian Sage, the hardy geraniums. I can just go on and on. Baptisia, one of my favorites. You know, I love the Baptisia perennial plant. There's, you know, mostly you'll find it in the indigo purple color. There's also the yellow lemon meringue. That's a great one. I'm thinking about perennial salvia is really looking stellar. I can just go on and on with some of the perennials. It's just, you know, if mom likes perennials, buy her several perennials. Mm-hmm. Don't just buy one.
Right.
Buy her a grouping of them. If you're going to get her a perennial today, buy three so she can put them in a grouping. Maybe five. Take it, notch it up a level.
Seven.
Seven. Yeah. Just, you know, why not?
That's
you
right.
know?
Three, five, and seven.
And you, as you always say, plant them for her.
Yes.
Yeah, don't take a murder and say, hey, here's a shovel.
Drop them off.
Plant them for her.
I think they'd look good right over there.
Yeah. And, you know, and we were talking about the hanging baskets, and we were talking about baskets with Jerry,
uh-huh.
And he was wondering about how much sun exposure. You know, try and find that out. If you're going to pick up a hanging basket for mom, kind of find out what that sun exposure is.
Mm-hmm.
And a little tip, I said this earlier, if you're not sure of the exposure, you can't go wrong with the dragon wing begonia hanging basket.
Mm-hmm.
It will take sun, it will take shade, it will take both. So therefore, you'll be a hit.
Cannot miss.
You can't miss with that one.
Stay on target.
And if you're not sure, pop into your local garden center or nursery today or florist, pick up a gift card. You can't go wrong with the gift card either.
Mm-mm.
If you're not sure and maybe mom's not ready to plant yet, pick up the gift card. And then when she does make it to the garden center or nursery, she's got a little cash in her pocket, so to speak, with that card. And, you know, a tree, we were talking about trees. Snow fountain cherry is a great tree to choose from. We were talking about some of the magnolias or any of the cherries. I'll tell you something we have that's stellar in the garden center. When you look at the foliage on it, is the good old smoke bush. Beautiful, deep, deep red burgundy color
wow.
foliage. Just
yeah.
rich. You glare at it. It's just beautiful. So everyone likes that color in the foliage.
I do. It's beautiful.
That it is.
Yeah.
And I forgot all about the Miss Kim Lilac. We were talking about that earlier, and I didn't go into any great details. Those that we have in the nursery, oh, my gosh, they smell so wonderful. They're in full bloom. I love the foliage on Miss Kim. When you plant Miss Kim in the landscape, give her plenty of room so you get good air circulation around Miss Kim.
Nice.
That's very important.
Yep. That's the other thing is to make sure that when you do get those plants, you put them in the right place.
Well, you have to.
You know?
That's like when you go into the restaurant. You got to be seated in the right area to experience the ambiance.
Every time they walk up to me and say, booth or table, I sort of just want to go, what do you think? a table.
I can't get in
it. I can't get
you
in
can't
a booth.
You can't get in a booth.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie. And Tony, we have Mindy on the line from Alexandria who has a mulch question for you. Hi, Mindy. Thanks for hanging on.
Oh, sure. Good morning.
Good morning.
Quick question. So I have like the red chip mulch down right now, and I'm considering using pine needles instead because it'll be easier for me to put down because they're lighter.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, I have sometimes stirred up the mulch. Sometimes I've taken it back out before I put a new batch down. If I'm going to switch from the wood chips to the pine mulch, do I need to clear out the old first?
I would suggest you do that. Yes.
Okay.
You know, and again, I don't know how thick that it is currently.
It's not very thick.
You know, therefore, it would be easier to rake it out rather quickly. Mm-hmm. I hate to say this, and I know some of my peers and colleagues are going to go, Tony, why are you saying this? I'm not a fan of the red mulch. You know, it's color enhanced. I know there's people that like it, and hey, you know, that works for you, that works for you. But I am a big, big fan, Mindy, of pine straw mulch.
How come?
Because there's a number of reasons. One in particular is it doesn't get hard and crusty on the top.
Uh-huh.
And water permeates it so easily that, you know, when we get into the summer months and some of those other mulches get really crusty on top and hard, water has a tendency to run off of it rather quickly if it's a quick downpour. But you're still going to get that permeation with the pine straw.
Okay.
Secondly, as much rain as we've had in recent weeks, actually oxygen gets through that pine straw because it's loose and it gets to the soil surface and it allows that soil surface to dry out and it makes for a healthier and happier root system for a lot of our perennials, trees, and shrubs.
Hmm. Okay.
So that's good. Another key benefit. Another benefit is that if you're on a hillside, it holds well together. It doesn't wash away.
Okay, that's good because that's what's happened to a lot of my mulch.
Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
that's
especially with the heavy rains.
That's another key benefit. And last but not least, for you, it's light in weight to carry. You're not lugging
right.
those heavy bags around. So there's four things right there that's in your favor.
I love it. I have one other quick question about a Rose of Sharon.
Uh-huh, sure.
I just got some from my mom, ones that were starting to come up, and I'm considering where to put them around my house. Because
mm-hmm.
I know they make great shrubbery, kind of privacy
uh-huh.
fences in a way.
Right.
But do they grow very well in shade, or is it full sun?
You're going to be better off if you can get at least 6 hours of sun.
Okay.
Okay, that's where you're going to get the best bloom production in that type of situation.
Uh-huh.
Not that it would necessarily, you know, wither or not, you know, or that it would die if it had a little more shade than sun. You just
mm-hmm.
wait and get that bloom production.
Okay.
And
what I want for the butterflies and the hummingbirds and things like that.
You know, talking about the butterflies, boy, this is the season. You know, there's been a lot of effort put forth in creating way stations and the environment and that habitat for the butterfly, and especially the monarch. You know, get those butterfly attractors in the landscape. And also the perennial plant of the year is the Asclepias tuberosa, which is the butterfly weed that
okay.
only the monarch will lay her egg on that particular plant.
Really? I didn't
mm-hmm.
know that.
So there's a number of things that you can do to make that happen, and I'm glad you're thinking along those lines.
Oh, good. Thank you very much. You guys are always so full of so much knowledge.
Well, I'm glad you said knowledge.
Yeah, Ernie. Ernie's got that big noggin is full of it.
Well, thank you so much for the call.
Okay.
All right.
Have a great day.
You too, Mindy. Bye.
749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Make sure you jump onto our Facebook page. Tony posted some beautiful pictures of a few window boxes that he was working on for a client, and that's another great idea. You know, just to be honest with you, stop by, pick up a couple of the boxes, grab some plants, go to mom's house, and put the window boxes together for her or with her. That would be even better. You know, time is the most valuable thing.
Now, I like that idea. I have a question for you.
I've got an answer, because I am full of knowledge.
How would you go about doing that, since I know that you're colorblind. Great idea. So take me through the process.
Okay. First, I would get all the material together, take it to the porch, and call upon my wife to instruct me. But in all honesty, even though I'm colorblind.
I'm glad you're being honest. That's twice you said in all honesty. Do you lie a lot?
Well,
I mean, are you fib?
Only to you.
Okay. that's good to know.
I seem to get caught when I do it with everybody else. I would still go through and go, oh, I like this plant. Oh, regardless of what color it appears to everybody else, it will look to me as something that either pleases me or displeases me, and I put them in there. Now, when guests come over, they may walk up to it and go, well, who put this thing together? And I would proudly say me, because it doesn't have to look to you like it looks to me.
You know,
I don't know any different.
Honestly, I would have to give you an A for effort.
That's right.
How's that?
Honestly, I put something together, you know.
Good for you.
And if it makes me happy, I'll be all right with it.
I was just curious, you know,
sure.
what type of steps or what the process would be,
yeah.
you know, given the fact that you don't see color like the rest of us. Mm-hmm. You know, the rods and cones in your eyes are just not right. In a good way.
Yeah.
Don't take that personally.
Yeah, I don't. You know, I just this past week I came to work, and I always know when I've got either a purple or a pink shirt on, because one of the ladies here will go, oh, that color looks so good on you. No one ever says that when you wear a white shirt or a blue shirt. It's usually pink or purple. And I had a purple shirt on thinking that it was blue. And I thought, oh, I love blue. This is great. And I walked across the lobby, and Heather, our receptionist, goes, wow, must be Purple Wednesday. Why? What's going to happen? What's going on? And she goes, oh, your shirt. It's purple. It's beautiful. So I acted like I knew what was going on. Hey,
yeah,
thank you very much.
I'm here to tell you, I wouldn't tell you that.
Oh,
I got it. I hope some of your buddies don't tell you that a shirt looks good on you.
Oh, well, I would take that as a good. I'm comfortable in my masculinity. It wouldn't bother me. 749-B105, in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. We need to pause for a moment. When we come back, we'll wrap up our Mother Day gift ideas for you. We'll be right back. Welcome back in and around the house with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Mother's Day Eve, and we're going to wrap up by telling you that nothing you buy or purchase or deliver to your mom will ever be as valuable as your time. So spend some time with mom, but come there bearing gifts. That's always a great idea.
I wish that I had my mom still with us today that I could take a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly take it, you know, just make sure that happens this weekend. That's so important, because moms are special. Even dads are special. We'll have Father's Day to talk about sometime in June, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And
it's always a little different for me than for dad. I still miss him, too. But, you know, little Yellowstone 90 proof, and he and I are connected like nobody's business.
Is that how you communicate?
That's right.
I like it. That works. But remember, mom, this weekend, tomorrow's her big day. It's all about mom tomorrow, and make it special for her.
Yes. So join us on Facebook, In and Around the House with Tony and Ernie, your local home and garden guys. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the weather. It's not raining, and it's not going to rain tomorrow. Have a great one. We'll talk to you next week.